Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they're archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about comfort zones. And you know, we use the term a lot, and it's kind of an Americanism in its way, but everybody has the same concept. A comfort zone is, well, something that you feel comfortable in, right? Yes. Something that you go, oh, yeah, I know. I know what's going to happen. I know how to handle this. I feel at ease, right? Yeah. And so let's talk about our comfort zones, and let's decide how we should expand them, and also how we should embrace them, too, because there's nothing wrong with having a comfort zone, or many comfort zones, but we need to be able to go beyond them also and say, you know, let's think about this, let's go forward, and let's expand what we know. So, what comfort zones? Let's have one of our opening questions, right? Yes, I know you all know exactly what I'm going to ask. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for so many people. Yay! Thank you for listening and your participation. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I am going to ask my usual general question because this is an unscripted show and we go wherever we take it, right? Wherever the questions take us. So, what comfort zones do we as leaders have, right? Let's do us first. Let's do leaders first. You know, I'm going to, because a lot of you have already started answering the questions, right? Right. Because you know what I was going to ask, yes. I'm going to call this niche expertise, kind of a narrow area of expertise that we're really, really good at, and people know it because, well, they've seen it in action, right? Mm-hmm. And then more general experience in the area will be our second one, right? We're going to go from very specific to just general expertise, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a comfort zone to deal with the same people, the same clients, the same companies, the same type of participant too, right? Yeah, that goes to our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Yes. How about leadership style? That's a comfort zone that we know what our leadership style is. We've got kind of a definite style, and we break it out, and that's how we handle things, right? Mm-hmm. This is a good point, too. It's within our comfort zone when our participants, when other people we're dealing with, we have empathy, but also they're kind of us, right? They have the basic, the same values and the same backgrounds. We understand them because we're a part of them. And it's always easier to deal with people like that, right? Really. But, hey, it's always important to be able to deal with everyone. Mm-hmm. And, yes, and the last one I think we're going to talk about is kind of a general one about comfort zone, and that it's the easy path. And we've always done it like this, right? Ever hear anybody say that? We've always done it this way, in kind of that tone of voice that indicates that that's how we're going to do it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we've always done it this way. That's our comfort zone. This is the path we know how to take, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about our leadership ones, our leadership comfort zones. Comfort zones do our participants have, right? Because we have to think about that because we need to bring everybody together. Mm-hmm. This is a good point. They have a comfort zone if they have confidence in the leader. I feel comfortable. I feel confident. I feel we're going to get someplace. This is my comfort zone is the leader, really, kind of, is the idea that the leader has confidence and knows what he or she is doing, right? Yeah. So they want to feel comfortable. They want to feel confident that you can handle it, right? You know where you're going. Good point. The participants will have a better comfort zone if they understand the process. They want to understand the process. Want to understand what's going on. How about treating them with respect? Yes, I want to be treated nicely when I am dealing with this group. That will enhance my comfort level, my comfort zone. Yes, I'm treated with respect and with civility. We're going to talk about the civility rules. Oh, yes, you knew we were going to talk about the civility rules because we do it a lot, but they're important. This is kind of a funny one that quite a few people are talking about. Our participants, I'm going to say, to sum it up, that our participants want to feel that they've chosen wisely to participate, that they're in the best group, the one that will really get somewhere. Yeah, they want to brag. They want to say, oh, I'm in Sue's group, and we're really rocking it. We're going to get there. We're gonna solve this problem. Don't worry. We've got this covered, right? Yeah, they want to be comfortable in the fact that it's kind of an honor to be in this group, right? Yeah. This is a good point too. And this is very important. I didn't really think about saying it out loud, but it's very important. Your participants come with comfort zones, and they want those to be acknowledged and respected before they can go forward. They want you to understand that they are reaching past what they usually would reach past. Yeah, we're doing our level best, and then some. People want to know that everybody knows that they're really, really working on it, that they're really giving it their best shot, that they're really, really trying, that they're really going beyond what they thought they'd have to go beyond, right? Yeah, and you should acknowledge that and really, really say that you think it's a mighty fine thing because it is a mighty fine thing. Yeah, it's important to know that we really are giving it our all, giving it our best shot, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think the last one we're going to talk about, which is kind of a little bit generic, but it's true, your participants want some help in expanding their comfort zone. They need some guidance, and that's why you're the leader, right? Yeah, let's give them a little bit of guidance. Let's give them a little bit of help. Let's give us a little bit of help and really think about how we're going to need to expand, how we're going to need to really think about this, how we're going to really need to go forward, right? Yeah. So let's start out with the leadership comfort zones. How about the niche one? Yeah, the niche comfort zone. I'm a specialist in kind of a very small area, but darn, I'm good at it, right? Yeah. Yes, this is true. Thomas says you become the go-to person, in quotation marks, go-to person. Everybody knows in your business, in your community, that you're a real expert in, I don't know, whatever kind of niche that you work with, right? And that if they've got a problem in that area or they need something to be resolved, you're it. You're the go-to person. The person that they contact, the person that if new clients ask around, everybody says, oh, well, go to Sue for that. She's really good and she'll get it done fast and efficiently and like that. Yeah. So you become the go-to person and it's really your comfort zone. Darn, I know how to do this, right? Yeah. Yes, but this is the problem. Muhammad says that if you do that, then you eventually get a narrow view of the issues. Yes, you think that everything fits into your niche. And you have to think about that. Is that what I'm doing? Have I created kind of a market for myself that's so narrow that I think that everything goes into it and I can't see any other direction? I can't see any other solution. I can't think outside the box because I am the box. Be the box. No, don't be the box. You need to be able to really analyze whether or not this needs a different approach, or we need to modify, or it's not exactly the everyday thing. And maybe the everyday problem, the everyday issue, should be more thought about too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you are going to get a narrow view. You're going to, if you just do a niche, you're going to think everything is that, and it's not. Mm-hmm. This is a very good point, too, that Elizabeth and others are saying. You need to keep current. Sometimes if you've got a niche, if you've got something that you've been doing a long time and it's truly your comfort zone, you forget to keep current. You forget to see what's out there, what the new thing is, what the research is, right? Hmm? Pardon me. You need to really keep track of what's going on in the world so that we can know what others are doing. Because you're probably not the only person handling these issues in the whole wide world. It's a big world. And you want to know and whether or not circumstances have changed, right? And you have to look around. It is true that if you really have a seriously narrow expertise, you have to make a real effort to be current. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 yes. Marge and others are saying you also need to have an open mind to other ideas and ways, right? Yes. Maybe there's a new way. Maybe it's better. Maybe it embraces some sort of new technology. This is good, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to our next one because we're kind of heading into it. And that's experience in the area. Not so much a niche as in you only do one type of thing, but you're experienced in the general area of whatever kind of issues because you see them a lot. And this happens as you become more experienced in the practice because you'll get referrals. And the referrals will refer when somebody has a similar issue, a similar problem that you need to come by and solve. And then you'll be brilliant at it, and then it'll lead to another referral of, well, similar. And like that, and pretty soon you will get experience, and maybe not be a niche, but you'll get your comfort zone. I really know how to handle these types of cases, right? Uh-huh. This is true. Lee says that it's broader than a niche, but still a narrow vision. Broader than a niche, but still a narrow vision. Still, I don't know. This is what I do. And you kind of try to pack everything into your comfort zone. You make things become that those issues, kind of twist it around, right? Yeah, that's a good. Mm-hmm. So you have to remember. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is true too. You know, when you have expertise in an area and you've been doing it a while, and maybe you even have some niche areas where everybody goes to you for it, right? It is true, and quite a few people are talking about this, and Suki and others are saying that you need to watch for arrogance and not become arrogant, right? Not become, oh, I'm so fabulous because I know how to do this. Well, no. I mean, you may be fabulous, but you want to be someone who other people can talk to, right? Someone who teaches, right? And a little bit of humility never hurt anything. Being completely arrogant is very, very not a good idea, especially with clients and with participants, because you may know what you're doing, but if you're really arrogant, you'll be really annoying at doing it. And that will breach your participants' comfort zone because they won't want to deal with you because you have a bad attitude, right? You may know something, but you've got a bad attitude. Not such a good idea, right? You need to remember that you're dealing with people, right? And that they want to understand and learn and participate and not just be ordered to do something by you just because you said so, right? Yeah. Yeah, this is true, too. People are talking about the fact that you get a reputation, and so you do see the same areas a lot in your practice because everybody knows you're good at it, and then they refer, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. People are asking what my area of expertise is. I've been doing this a really long time. I can handle any kind of a group because if I'm not familiar with the technicalities of it, I bring in an expert, right? I don't have to know everything, but I do know people. If I have an area of expertise, it's kind of broad, but I seem to be called in a lot. Remember, if you're good at something, people refer you. When there's already been a failure, well, all right, we won't call it a failure. But when a group is not reaching their successful outcome, how's that, right? Yeah, they are at a stalemate. They've really kind of mad at each other besides, right? And these types of groups have a certain group dynamic, and it's negative. And I get called in to switch it around and to get them to reach their successful outcome because they must. Mm-hmm. Yes, mostly corporate. Some big nonprofits, but that's corporate too, really. Mm-hmm. So my expertise is being the new sheriff in town, right? And I do know how to take the reins and get us to reach a successful outcome, sometimes rather quickly, because I do explain, and this is always a surprise to people, I do explain that the faster we get done, the faster we don't have to see each other again. What a concept! Yeah! Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, really? Oh, what a good idea. That should have been obvious, but many things are not obvious that should be. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go on to same corporations and people, since we're pretty much talking about that already. Because a lot of times you do work for the same corporation. You work for the same boss, so to speak. Because they call you in because they've had experience with you before. And they were pleased. Yeah, it worked out. And so it is a compliment to have repeat clients because they have confidence in you. They go, oh, well, Sue handled worse than that last time. Let's call her in and have her figure this out. So it is a compliment that they have confidence in you, and it means that you do work with the same people. It makes a good working relationship. There's nothing the matter with that because you've already got the groundwork done. You've already got the rules in place, right? Yes. People are asking what kind of rules. I have a rule that I can enforce because I have a great deal of experience, but I think that you, even if you're brand new, I think it's very important because it is how you will get a good reputation. Before I take on one of those groups that has failed, for example, and get them put back together and like that, I get very clear in writing in my contract what kind of power I have to enforce that we must play nice. Because I can say it, but if I don't have any teeth, if I don't have any power, well, what good is it? Nobody will, if people are being bullies and things like that, they're not going to become better if I can't force them. And then they'll get into the groove of things and it'll be fine. But the first time or two, they'll test your power. They'll test your resolve. And you must have the ability to have some power, right? To really do something about it. Mm-hmm. The do something about it is very important. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I actually, even though I'm dealing with the same corporations, the same people, I get it each time in writing what my power is. Mm-hmm. And that gives them confidence because then they know that I know how to handle it, right? That goes to comfort zone too. Mm-hmm. This is a good point that when you deal with the same corporations and the same people, you not only have experience with these individuals, I'm calling corporation an individual, but you also have preconceived notions due to your experience, and they do too. Everybody's got preconceived notion, well, success, really. But you also need to have an open mind to think about the people that you've dealt with before, always dealt with, and see if maybe, pardon me, oh, we've always done it this way is no longer true, right? Because circumstances change. And we need to be able to see that and to modify and to work forward. Very important to understand that sometimes circumstances change. Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes. Padma and others are saying that new issues and circumstances change needs and reactions. New issues and circumstances change needs and reactions. Yes. And sometimes people know, your participants know that something needs to be changed and that things have changed, but they're kind of scared and they're not sure how. They understand that something has changed. Sometimes it's a change in leadership, for example. Sometimes it's kind of sudden. But understand the change is happening or happened, but they need guidance, they need leadership as to where's our comfort zone now, right? What should we do? They need guidance as to when to how to go forward and feel comfortable again. People like to feel comfortable. Let's face it, we all do. We all like to have a handle on things and pretty much know what's going on. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you need to acknowledge it and understand that that's a human need, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to leadership style, right, which is our next topic, and that we are comfortable in our leadership style because it's our leadership style. So we are comfortable in it. We do feel that we are – I'm going to take a sip of water. Excuse me. Hang on one sec. Oh, this is a live show, eh? But we feel comfortable – in how you lead, right? Yeah. And this comfortableness will translate into confidence for your participants too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sometimes a leadership style needs to be modified when the circumstances change. Or maybe you've got a group or a corporate culture that needs to have a leader that's a certain way. And if you can't modify enough to do it, then you should recuse yourself. You should understand that that's what's needed and it's not your way of doing things. Some groups, some cultures, and corporate culture being one of the cultures, need more this is what we're going to do type leadership, right? And others want to have complete democracy. They want to discuss it and vote on it and reach consensus. Two ends of the spectrum, and usually we meet in the middle, right? We've discussed it, we've considered it, we've gotten all our options. Let's give some direction to make a decision and move forward. Because it's possible to analyze things too long and too much. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward and see what's happening in case we have to revise, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, your leadership style and your comfort zone in it gives you some expectations of your participants. Mm-hmm. that they will be enthusiastic and work and really do what they say. People are talking about transparency and the continuity of process. This is important in the leadership style. I'm very transparent. At least I try to be. When we first get together, I try to tell you that it is what we're going to do, what's going to happen, what we're going to need, and that things will change. It's one of the things I tell folk, that things will change, that I can say it now, but with the exception of the civility rules, which are always in force, and maybe some other rules that are required, we'll need to modify as we go along. That's one of the parts of our comfort zone, that I, as leader, understand where to lead you, right? Yeah, makes you feel comfortable. Yes, the transparency and continuity of process. Yes, one of the things I... Well, all right. There's some physical process, right? Where's the bathroom, when we're going to meet, and like that. But one of the main things that I stress is the civility rules. The civility rules say at their very base, we will not be rude to one another. Everybody will get their turn. We will not roll our eyes, sigh, jingle change, pass notes as in texts nowadays, right? I don't generally confiscate mobile devices, although I could, depending on if they're being abused in the room, right? And these types of, and also, yes, the civility rules are very important. They're the only rules Recipe for Peace Now really has. They need to be enforced immediately, consistently, and fairly. You cannot wait till somebody gets to the bullying stage. No, immediately, consistently, and fairly, we have standards, and we will uphold them. No matter what the leadership style is, this is not a negotiable rule. And that's why you need some to understand what kind of power you've got to enforce, because somebody in the group, usually, will try to test your insistence on the civility rules. They'll try to bully someone. They'll try to inflict their opinion on everyone and not let anyone else speak. No. That's why you need some enforcement power, so that the civility rules are not just an idea. They are an obligation, right? There's something that we are going to do. Yes. Very important. How about our next comfort zone? Because if we don't keep going, we're gonna ruin our comfort zone. We're going to run out of time and like that. I know sometimes we don't get to the recipes too. This happens because we're having such a wonderful discussion. The next comfort zone is empathy with our participants. Remember that empathy is understanding and not agreement. Right? Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Now, sometimes we have participants that are within our comfort zone. They are very much like us. They share our values. They just have some core foundational beliefs, right, that we share. And we are comfortable dealing with them because we understand them. But a lot of times, even those kind of people, we need to have some empathy and we need to gain some understanding because they might not be exactly what we think they are, right? They might not be us because everybody's a human and we're all individual. So we have to have some understanding and not necessarily agreement, but understanding. And the understanding goes around the group, right? It's in front of everyone, so everyone can have this understanding. For this, we're going to need to break out the 5W questions. Yay! Yes. They are who, what, where, when, and why. Who, what, where, when, and why, right? So that we can understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a good point, too. George and others are saying you also need to have empathy with other groups so you can join resources and really work together. You have to have empathy for the other leader also, because they don't want to lose their power base, right? They don't want to combine into you. They want to be leader also. How's that going to work? How are we going to put this together so that nobody's toes get stepped on and we can have empathy for each other and work together for the same outcome, even if our goals, our reasons might be different? But we like the same ultimate outcome, and it's good to pool resources. It's good to join together, right? Yeah. Yes, more is better. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you need to get empathy and understand each other. And your participants will understand you too, right? We all participate in the how come game and the 5W questions: who, what, where, when, and why. Now, do we ask them all one after another and like that? Not necessarily. Do we ask them in that order? Not necessarily. We break out these questions when we need to know something, when we need to wonder how come. Well, fill in the blank, right? Yeah, how come this person thinks this? That seems, well, kind of out of character, perhaps, right? Who, what, where, when, and why? Mm-hmm. Let's go on to our last topic for us, the leaders, and then we'll get into our participants. Mm-hmm. And that's the comfort zone that says we've always done it this way. And that's sometimes your employer comfort zone too. They really kind of desire to have it done a certain way because they feel comfortable. They feel comfortable signing off on it. They feel comfortable that it's being done right. Correct? Yeah. But it's being done the way it should be done, right? The way it's always been done. The way we feel comfortable, the way we like it, right? And so you need to think about that. If the way that's always been done, and it's your comfort zone, but is it the way that should be done now? Maybe things have changed. Circumstances have shifted, right? Yeah. This is a good point, too. Pamela says that if others have done it differently, analyze how they did it successfully. Right? Other people aren't doing it the way we've always done it. Let's analyze how they've done it successfully and find out if maybe the way we've always done it was good, but maybe now there's something else that can be done that's more effective, more efficient, more better, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a very good point. We often talk on this show, and Recipe for Peace Now is kind of, it's one of the things we know. And it goes to the 5W questions to find this out. Sometimes we've got invisible participants. We've got what they call influencers. People who aren't in the room aren't really a participant. But the participant is telling them about what's happening. Reporting may be a big word because it implies an actual formal act. But they are talking about what we're doing. And these invisible people, the influencers, are discussing back, of course. And they've got opinions and things that the participant is bringing back with them into the room, right? Because they respect the person that they are talking to, or in some way they want to curry their favor, right? Or they're like the leader of some sort of a religious group, for example. And your participants have invisible participants. Mm-hmm. And those invisible participants may have always done it this way. And it's their comfort zone that's being accommodated. I like to bring these people into the room. They are welcome. If they don't want to be known, they can be welcomed anonymously. Yes, you must always keep that. A confidence must always be kept. Otherwise, no one will ever trust you again. Excuse me, took a sip of water. And there's usually a really, really, really good reason for the confidence, for the fact that people don't want to be the person on the line up front, right? Mm-hmm. And it will, then you'll understand the various pressures and that someone's comfort zone is being breached. Who is an influencer, right? Yeah. And that makes your participant's comfort zone breached also. Mm-hmm. Which leads us to our participant comfort zones. Ha! See how I did that? Very clever. Mm-hmm. And they need to be comfortable with you, right? That they feel comfortable with their leadership is one of their main comfort zones. I feel good about this group. You ever have anybody say that? I feel good about this, right? Well, that means it's in my comfort zone. I can really handle this. I'm feeling enthusiastic about it. I think we're going to get somewhere, right? Yeah, it's in my comfort zone. I feel comfortable. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. A comfort zone is really kind of a good thing. It's just that you have to recognize it and see if it's keeping you from moving forward is the key to it. There's nothing wrong with having comfort zones, for heaven's sakes. They're quite reassuring and quite a fabulous thing, yes. But we need to understand that that's what we've got. Mm-hmm. So they need confidence in the leader. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good way of putting it. I like it. It's a good sense. Benjamin says that the participants need their comfort zones and they need to feel confidence that the leader is confident in his or her abilities. The participants need confidence that the leader is confident in his or her abilities. What if it's your first time as leader? Are we going to announce that and look kind of desperate? No, our participants do not want to know that. They don't want to know that you're not feeling confident and that you're unsure of what on earth it is that you're doing. Who made me leader? That kind of a thing. No, I've actually seen people do that. It's the weirdest thing. They get up and they say something like, well, this is my first time. I'm going to need a lot of help. Well, would that make you feel confident as a participant? Would that be within your comfort zone? No, you're not going to feel confident as someone who isn't confident in themselves, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as you need confidence that the leader is confident in their abilities. Yes. Comfortable with leadership, participants look to your reputation. Your reputation in the community, and they go, oh, that's good. Yeah, this person really will know what they're doing. They'll really be able to lead us, to understand what it is that needs to be done, which is your job as leader. To get people to understand what needs to be done and get them to do it. That's pretty much the leadership requirement, right? Yes. So they need to have confidence, and partially it's your reputation. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are talking about transparency again, where you explain at the beginning and all through, because repetition doesn't hurt anything, what's going on. Which leads us to our next topic, with the fact that our participants need to be comfortable and understand the process, right? They need to be, that's part of their comfort zone is understanding the process. And they go, oh, okay, I'm cool with that. We can handle that, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, one of the things that you must always remember, and quite a few people are talking about this, yes, Hussein says that they need to be, that you need to remember that it's a new experience for your participants. It's a good point. You've done this 473 times, right? Because you've got a lot of experience. It might even be your niche. It's their first time. And even if you've seen these people before, I still have transparency and I still talk to them about what's going to happen because people forget and because circumstances change, people's opinions change, right? Yeah. And you need to tell them about the process because it's a new experience for them. You've done it a whole bunch and it seems obvious. They haven't done it at all and it's not obvious at all. Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the things that will make your participants feel more comfortable is your own efficiency, right? Looks, this is a really good group. Everything is tracked. Everything is kept track of. We get email notifications. There's definite times when we meet. We've made teams and we report in. There's a certain efficiency to the process that is very reassuring. And very necessary. Never mind the reassuring to your participants. It's necessary for us to keep track of what's going on. Because we have lots and lots of different groups. We're popular. And you need to have somebody keep track. Yes, do indeed. We have interns. I do indeed say that you should have, if you can possibly afford it, to have one well-paid assistant to keep all the balls in the air and keep track of the various groups. Yeah. Very important. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, sometimes there's no budget for these things, which is really too bad for an assistant. And you've got some interns and some volunteers, you can't expect as much from them. And one of the things I truly don't think you can expect, and if you can, it's a lovely surprise, an individual to that person, is real efficiency. Because they've got lives, and you're not paying them, right? And it's not their day job. It's not their primary role. Mm-hmm. And so if you can, I do think it's very important to have an actual professional keep track. Yes, you can keep track, but you will get too busy to do so. Yeah. People are asking if the leader should keep track. Yes, but hopefully no, because that means that you have so many clients that you need someone to keep track of who's doing what. And keep track of the teams reporting in and things like that. Mm-hmm. Our next topic is in comfort zone. Is the participants have a greater comfort zone and a more enthusiastic attitude because of their comfort zone if they're treated with respect. Very important, right? Treated with respect. Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. Michael says you create a convivial atmosphere so that you want to participate. Even if they're forced because of some sort of level in their employment or something, and they are kind of forced to participate, you want them to want to participate. Not just because, oh, God, I have to do this. It's such a time suck. No, you want to have enthusiasm, go, wow. This group is really good, really getting somewhere. We're going to effectuate some sort of change, and we're going to do it well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you need to really want to participate, and that has to do with your convivial atmosphere and with your comfort zone of respect. And civility rules, remember? Right. The civility rules make everybody respected. Yes, we will not be rude to one another. It sounds easy, but some people have trouble with it, right? Yeah. So we want to create a convivial atmosphere where everybody's treated respectfully, mm-hmm. that you want to participate in. Yes. Yes, if there's no respect, this is true. Ellen and others are saying that you will never reach consensus through negotiation and then compromise if there's no respect. if there's no civility rules, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do indeed need equal turns to be heard, right? Equal turns to be heard. I actually, especially in the beginning when everybody's kind of making their opinion statement, I actually use a kitchen timer so everybody gets the same amount of time to speak. And I like it because it actually goes ding real fat, real loud in the room. And that means that everybody understands that they've been treated fairly, that they've had the same amount of time as anyone else, because everybody thinks that they've had less time if somebody's holding up fingers, right? Yeah. It seems like, oh, well, that can't be my two-minute warning. But if the thing, tick, 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 ding, it's no way of cheating it. Then everybody knows that they have their time. Mm-hmm. Our next topic was where participants feel comfortable and better if they can brag about the group, that they're in the best group. This has to do with the leadership reputation, right? That I'm in Sue's group, right? Filled up first. Wow, that seems good. She's really experienced. We're going to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yes. Lee says that, and others are saying, that if you have all of these and you're in the best group and you have respect and transparency and like that, then the group itself, what we're doing, will become part of your comfort zone. Yeah, you don't have one comfort zone and that's it. You break them out for different circumstances, right? Different situations. And the group can actually be a comfort zone. The group can be something that we feel really comfortable doing, that we're really enthusiastic about, that we really feel, wow, we're getting somewhere. The group can actually be our comfort zone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a good point that people want to feel honored to participate. And when they tell their friends and neighbors and peers and like that, everybody goes, wow, I wish I was in that group. Ooh, how'd you do that, right? And it makes you feel kind of proud, right? That you're important and in a good group that's going to get somewhere. And that feeds your feeling of comfort zone. Yeah, I've hit the jackpot. This is good, right? Yeah, it's great. So, and it also will get you full buy-in. If people feel enthusiastic and people feel that they are in really a good group and this is going to get somewhere and we're really, this is interesting, right? You get full buy-in, which it means that they act with enthusiasm, because it may be kind of Americanism, but it means we buy into the concept, right? We buy into the work. We buy into the idea that we're going to effectuate some change, right? Or whatever it is that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So you get enthusiasm because people feel comfortable working with the group. They feel comfortable with the mission. They feel comfortable with what's going on. Yeah, let's really participate in this. This is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a fabulous group, right? Mm-hmm. Our last topic, and then I'm going to try to squeeze in a recipe. I don't know if we'll make it or not, but if not, we'll do them next week. But we're having such a lovely conversation. I'm taking a little sip of water. Excuse me. Pardon me. Voice seems to be going in and out. How strange. The last topic is really the idea on both our part, leader part, and on participant part, that we're going to expand our comfort zones. Yeah, we're going to really go forward. We're going to see if we can really expand what we think, if we can really go forward and be comfortable and really think about it, really, really wonder, really go, wow, I can expand. I can go forward. I can think through the next step, the next area that needs to be accomplished, what needs to be done. Yeah, yeah, we can do this. We can get this done, right? Yeah, and it's hard. It's complicated. It's important is what it really is. And therefore, we are going to do it. We're going to really, really work on it and go, yeah, all right, we've got this. We're cool. We've got this. Yeah. And go forward, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And that goes for both us and our participants. Yes, people are talking about the fact that as always you're getting new knowledge, right? You're learning new things every day that you live. You're getting new experiences. You're getting new opinions maybe, right? Yeah. And this all goes to expanding our comfort zone, to really being able to say, oh, yeah, I think we're okay. I think we should do that. This is going to work, right? Yes, very important to really gain new knowledge and really think about what you've learned. Yes. People are talking about having a new team, right? Being able to really work with the other team members to say, look, this is what we need to get done. Let's think about how we're going to do it. And then somebody has an idea that's within their comfort zone, but you didn't ever think about it. So you have to think about putting it into your comfort zone and how it melds with what you know. And then you could tell everybody what you know, and we can all get together and decide, pardon me, what it is that needs to be done. How should we go forward, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes there is a new need, right? And that wasn't there before. We have a new need. We have something that we need to have done, right? That happens a lot in life. We've done something and it's like, well, we have a new need. We have something that we need to go forward with. Yes. You know, this is kind of true too. Elijah and others are saying that enthusiasm is contagious. It will expand our comfort zone without making us uncomfortable, right? It's contagious. Enthusiasm is contagious. It's wonderful. We can do this. Yes, we are able and competent and comfortable in saying, yes, we are going to go forward, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. And our comfort zone is always expanding. Our comfort zone is always in flux, right? And it's not just one comfort zone. It's a whole bunch of them that have to do with different circumstances. And one of the ways for us to expand and to know and to gain knowledge and to be truly a member of the team is to talk to other people, right? And really, really get to know them and understand them and be able to ask questions. And one of the ways to do that, and the way that Sesame for Peace now advocates, is to have some food in the room, because it gives us a moment to really acknowledge each other as people and not representatives of whatever side we're on in the issues. Does that make sense? Yes. It means that we are going to be able to have a working relationship to people who are outside our comfort zone, because they're not us. They're different. They have different opinions. But hey, we all like to eat, right? And so we are going to have some food in the room because it is a tool. Now, we might be hungry also, but the food is a tool to get us to be more comfortable with each other, more relaxed, more, oh, well, we may not be friends, but we're going to have a good working relationship. This is fine, right? Nothing wrong with that. Pardon me. And if we're going to have food, which we are, we're going to need to take a survey. And we're going to need to find out if anybody has any allergies, any religious or other prohibition to food, or some they just won't eat, right? And we're going to disseminate that information. And when people come, with the food. We're going to ask them to bring a list, what is in it, not what it's called, but what is in it, so I can run my eye down the list and be sure that I can eat this, right, and feel confident about it. And also, I think that we should have one safe recipe because it is something that everybody can eat for sure. And my people would be familiar with the ingredients and have eaten them before, right? Now, in my area, this is an international show, of course. In my area, a curry would be kind of adventurous, but maybe not in yours. Maybe everybody eats curry 3 times a day. So you have to decide what's an adventure to your people. So let's do one of the recipes because we've got, all of 4 minutes. Goody. Let's do the shorter recipe, which is actually the adventure one. And it is an adventure one because it's fairly spicy and it has chutney in it, which is kind of unusual in my area, but maybe not in yours. So this is a mango chutney chicken. It is quite delicious. I usually serve it with cooked rice, maybe even brown rice because brown rice is a little bit denser, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to use some bottles and cans and stuff. If you want to be more authentic and do it from scratch, go with you. That's fabulous. Yours will be better than mine. But I am going to do something that is time expedient, just because it's time expedient, right? Right. So let's have about half a cup of mango chutney that's you buy in a bottle, and it's fabulous. We're going to have to bring the bottle and show it to everyone for our list. And a couple of teaspoons, a tablespoon, of chili garlic sauce, which is also something that you buy around here, unless you've purchased really spicy chutney, and then you can ignore that. Let's have 4 cloves of garlic that we're going to mince up. I like a lot of garlic. If you think that's too much, use less. A tablespoon of cooking oil. Let's have 2 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breasts that we're going to cut into chunks. Make it 3 pounds. Let's have a little extra chutney, too. And let's have one nice big red pepper cut also into little squares, into chunks. Let's have a yellow one, too, because it's pretty. And it goes nice with everything. Also, you know how to vein it and seed it and cut it into chunks. And a nice big mango, peeled, pitted, also cut. I never can get them into real even chunks, but cut into nice pieces so it'll go with everything and look good. Mm-hmm. For the sauce, we're going to combine the chutney, the chili garlic sauce, the ginger, and the garlic, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to, that's the wet ingredients. We're going to put it aside. Let's take out our wok or a very big skillet or something. Heat the oil, right? Add the chicken. We're going to cook it around until it's no longer pink, all sides. What does it take? 4 minutes, 3-4 minutes. Let's push the chicken to the edge of the pan. If you don't have enough room, take it out and put it on a dish. But we're now going to cook the peppers until, what, about a minute, until they're nice and hot and cooked through but not squishy. We're now going to throw the chicken back in or just mix it back in. And we're going to put our lovely sauce over it, heat it through. Yum, yum, yum. Mm-hmm. The mango I usually use for the outside as a garnish. You can put it in. I just think it looks pretty, and then it doesn't get lost. If you're going to actually stir it in, use more than one mango. I'm using the mango little chunks as a garnish more than anything else, right? But if you'd like to mix it in, put more in. This is an adventure recipe because of the chutney. I also, if I'm positive that people can eat it, and it's on the list, I do like to add nuts. Mm-hmm. Peanuts is my preference, But that's something that people have some allergies to, so you have to be careful and really put down that it's in there, right? Right. It is delicious. If you add the nuts, it's kind of crunchy, too. Oh, yum, yum, yum. You add the nuts at the last minute because, of course, they want to be incorporated in the sauce, but they don't necessarily need to be hot. They're nuts. And it's delicious. Everybody likes it. You can double the recipe, make lots. Rice on the side. Condiments on the side. You might notice it's not very spicy. I like to make things a little bit more bland, and then people can add if they like, right? Delicious, easy to do. You could even do it in the room if you had the facilities. It would smell fabulous, yes. And we are out of time, and we're not going to make it to the second one. So that's my mango chutney chicken stir fry. Yum, yum, yum. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. If you want to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Oh, yes, you know what? I didn't say it. You're right. Prior shows are archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. You're right. I always say that, don't I? Yes, they are. Thank you. And we will hopefully see you again next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.